Within the Simulation, The Search for the Creator, Chapter 3, The Cat in the Code. It is an unusually warm spring day, a June afternoon misplaced in early March. Trey and Fatima find themselves sitting on a park bench not far from the cafe. They've met up once again by accident, the air around them charged with a sense of curiosity. Fatima, a playful smile on her lips, says, "You know, perhaps you've been following me, but not for the usual reasons men might, thinking I'm cute or something, which is debatable, by the way, but maybe because I'm the only one who really gets how your mind works." Trey chuckles slightly, then leans closer, more serious. "Well, who says being curious or different is such a bad thing anyway? I've been thinking too, Fatima, about everything we've seen, everything we've talked about. It could just be meandering people's thoughts or pieces of a puzzle scattered around, but we can't see the full picture yet." Fatima nods, her gaze intense. "Well, I know what you mean. It's as if the universe could be playing with us. And like today, I swear I saw the same cat 3 times on my way here, and here it is now on the park bench. And I know it's the same cat because look at that unique diamond-shaped mark on its forehead. I mean, how many white cats in the city have that unique mark? It's the same cat, all right. It just keeps repeating, like appearing in my path over and over. Could be evidence of a stray cat just following you around the city," Trey offers, but Fatima explains, "It could also be a glitch." And Trey's brow furrows. He does not quite understand. "Well, a glitch, Trey, you know, these are actual signs that there might be a system that is failing to keep its illusion intact. It's like when a computer game lags or repeats an action over and over. So in this case, if this was a type of video game, a simulation, the cat that I keep seeing, well, maybe it's not a cat at all, but just a piece of the code that underlies this whole illusion, this reality, looping on itself." Trey glances around them. Then he leans in closer, his voice barely a whisper. "You see that woman 3 benches over? She keeps opening up the same book and going to the same 5 pages at the beginning, over and over again. Could that be evidence of a glitch as well? Don't look now, she'll think we're staring at her, but yeah, take a look." Fatima casually glances over her shoulder at the woman and then says, "She's doing it again." And Trey shushes to quiet her. "Well, could that be an example of a glitch?" "Well, it most certainly could. Or she's just OCD or a bit touched in the head." And Trey continues smirking and half joking. "And so assuming that I'm not actually stalking you, and I'm not, is it just a coincidence that we keep running into each other? Or could that itself be some kind of glitch?" And the physicist raises an eyebrow teasingly. "Well, it could be either. Or maybe you like me a lot more than you really want to admit." Fatima then changes topics, growing less flirtatious and more serious. "Remember what you discussed? Digital dementia, well, as our brains get more accustomed to this digital overload, it might start to blur the lines about what's real and what's fabricated. And the glitches might be a result of that. On the other hand, they could be clues." "Clues?" Trey asks. "Yes, clues. Clues about the simulation and then the glitches, these are cracks in the simulation, showing us that reality has a lot more layers than we might think." And Trey reflects on this with a hint of tension, his face tightening. "So every strange repetition, every odd occurrence, it's like the simulation is trying to keep up with everything, but somehow it slips, revealing what's behind the curtain. And Fatima says, or it's showing us that we might not even be looking at a curtain at all, but just another layer of reality. The two share a contemplative silence. There's a man on a nearby bench who keeps checking his watch, a faint smile now playing at the edges of his mouth as if he knows something that they don't. The tension between Fatima and Trey seems to thicken considerably, as if an invisible thread is pulling them together. Fatima leans back on the bench, whispering, Maybe he's just checking his watch a lot. Or he is yet another glitch. Meanwhile, at RV's yoga studio, she's having an unusual experience of her own. Amid the sound of calming yoga music, soft murmurs of students, packing up sounds of mats and unrolling of mats as a new class begins, there is the faint ring of a bell in the background. RV, still in her yoga attire, moves toward the small studio office to check the day's schedule. She feels a lingering sense of unease, though she can't quite place it. Something has shifted. She says to herself, curious but concerned, "How strange, I thought I locked the door." She steps inside, flicking on a light. The room is empty except for a small potted plant on her desk. But it's a plant that she swears she threw away last week. The plant, a tiny succulent with two thick leaves, is unmistakable. And the yoga instructor had thrown it out, frustrated when it withered and died. And yet, here it was, full and vibrant, as if it had never left, and as if it had never died at all. There is a faint rustling from the corner of the room, like a paper being moved by an unseen breeze. RV, hesitant, asks, "Who's there?" She's met with silence. But she spots a folded note, a piece of paper on the ground, partially hidden under her yoga mat. She picks the note up and unfolds it. The note, written in her own handwriting, reads, "Remember, nothing is ever truly gone." Aravi, stunned, whispers to herself, "But I never wrote this." She looks around the room, sensing an odd presence, and the entire yoga studio itself seems to shimmer momentarily, and then the shimmer is gone, and everything returns to normal again, only nothing feels right. And as Aravi stares at the plant, and then at the note, she returns her gaze to the empty room. Was this just a prank, a trick of her own mind? Or was it something more, something in keeping with what Fatima, her student, had told her about the bending of reality, or even breaking? The sound of a clock ticking in the background seems deafening, echoing her confusion as she ponders these questions. Timmy hums to himself within his garage, the sounds of tools clinking, the low hum of a radio playing classic rock in the background, and faint creaking noises as he goes about his business. He's in the garage fixing his old truck, but today something feels very different and off. Timmy mutters to himself, "Well, come on, old girl. You can come to life again. I can fix you. Just work with me a little more." The radio crackles suddenly, the music distorting into static. A faint whispering sound emerges, barely audible.
"Find the truth. Find the truth."
Timmy, startled, turned to the radio. "What in the?" He taps the radio several times, and the music returns to normal. Timmy laughs nervously, wiping his brow. "Great. Now I'm hearing things on top of everything else. Must be the heat in this place." The walls of the garage creak softly as if they are shifting. Timmy stops, listening intently. A faint knocking sound echoes from behind the walls. His heart races, a sense of something crawling just beneath the surface of his reality. Better keep all this to myself. I mean, I tell May about this, and she'll have me seeing some shrink somewhere. The garage door creaks slightly as if in response, and the whispers return for just a moment before fading away. Within the shadows, the gamekeeper sits quietly, his eyes scanning all of the monitors in front of him, Lance standing guard beside him, a file in his hand. There is a digital beeping, mechanical hums, and the sound of a chair creaking. Lance, in an urgent tone, trying to maintain control, says,
"They are getting too close. Gamekeeper, they keep digging. Won't be long before they find cracks."
And the gamekeeper says, "Well, cracks are inevitable in our business, Lance. It's how the light gets in." And Lance is frustrated.
"This isn't a game of poetry. If they discover truth..."
And the gamekeeper smiles slightly. "Well, then perhaps it's time they see a different version of the truth." Lance frowns, unsure if he understands. "Let's introduce a new variable, something to distract them, keep them from looking too closely." Lance nods, a calculating look crossing his face.
"I'll see to it, but remember, only works if you stay in control."
The gamekeeper's smile fades slightly, his expression thoughtful, almost wistful. Control? Well, most certainly, but who is really controlling whom? I'm in control, right? But could there be someone controlling me that I'm not aware of? The lights flicker and a low, ominous hum fills the air as the two of them ponder the unthinkable.